It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Across the Romaverse. It's episode 137. Steve here with both Jimmy and Brandon this week. So guys, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. I gotta say that I'm still in a very positive mood from all of the value that Thiago Pinto has been able to squeeze out of the squad and the players who we know just are not going to be a part of this senior squad going forward. The news about more youth players being sent off for additional money, specifically Volpato and Missouri, has me feeling pretty good. And it seems like, according to rumors, that Roma might be in the lead again for David Fratesi. So it seems like we're in a good spot in terms of the transfer market.
Yeah, it does. I really want the Fratesi saga just to end because it's been months and months and months of hearing this name
over a year
in the news. Yeah. So I really just want this wrapped up. And as you said, Roma are potentially now in the lead again for his services. Remains to be seen if that'll happen. And then, you know, with his buddy Scamacca up in the air as well, remains to be seen if Roma will turn to a different player at striker to replace Tammy. But again, as you said, Pinto doing a good job of fulfilling that $30 million FFP obligation that Roma have to satisfy before the end of the month. I think if all the projected sales go through, we're just shy of that 30 million euro mark. So hats off to him, and having done it without sacrificing a huge name is pretty big.
Yeah, it's if I did my math correctly today, because I saw someone tweet at Bren with the site account, you know, what are we at right now? And Kluivert, I believe, was 11 million, 10 million for these two to Sassuolo, two youngsters, but it's at 21 and an 8.5 for Tahirovic is 29.5, which puts us just under the 30 million. I don't know how they couldn't squeeze out like an extra half million somewhere with Sassuolo. I don't know, but that means basically they make one more very minor sale or a paid loan deal, and they're at the 30 by the end of the month, which they need to be in the next 3 days or so by the 30th, which is Friday. We're recording on Tuesday. So I know sometimes we were talking about last week, Jimmy and I, like, it hurts to let young players go, but I don't mind them selling Volpato at this point and Missouri. Missouri, you know, I don't know how high his ceiling is. I know Volpato's thought to have a pretty high ceiling, but I'd rather sell youngsters that they might pan out, they might not pan out at this point to satisfy that FFP than to pull a big player off the squad and do it in haste like we've seen them do with Salah and other players in the past. And I think Pinto's doing a really good job of trying to get to that 30 without taking any first-team players out of the squad right now. And if they decide to sell Ibanez or Spinazzola in the course of the summer because they get a good offer, then so be it. But at least it's not a forced move, I think. And I think that's important. You know, Carlos Perez, they said there was an offer today about, I think, 4 million euros from Celta Vigo. Roma's looking for 6.5. Maybe they meet somewhere in the middle around 5, 5.5 this week. And things are all wrapped up. And I think that would be an ideal way to end the month of June in terms of outgoing, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I would also add, you know, I mean, some people might quibble about the value that we're getting from Sassuolo on Volpato and Missouri, thinking about that move from of Benjamin Tahirović earlier this month to Ajax for, I think it was a 8.5 to 9.5 million reported fee, to be getting around 10 million from Sassuolo for both Volpato and Missouri. Some might say, that's a little odd, or maybe not as fair value. But, you know, Steve and I talked about this last week as well. It seems like the way that Roma is going to fight on the David Fratesi front against Inter and AC Milan is by, you know, using that 30% sell-on fee that they have, maybe throwing in a player or two. And you have to imagine that, you know, given the questionable nature of some transfers that have happened over the past several years, where it's like there have been player swaps in Serie A that have been come under scrutiny, both for Juventus and Napoli, that it might be smart for clubs like Roma and Sassuolo to make their transfers be separate, to, you know, have kind of like a wink-wink understanding that these are related transfers, but maybe not just a direct player swap. So my guess is that the reason why Volpato and Missouri might be going for 10 million combined might be related to that. Sassuolo is also reported to be interested in bringing in Eduardo Bove, but most clubs, I would say, seem to be interested in bringing Eduardo Bove in. I've seen rumors linking him to Bologna and basically every other mid-table side. Given that, I'm hopeful that we can get past June 30th with that plus 30 million in the books, or whatever that plus must be. And then in early July, really get some of the bigger moves going, whether that's Gianluca Scamacca, David Fratesi, or others.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what July and August have in store in terms of who Pinto's bringing in. As was hinted at earlier, you know, if you get to the end of the month and satisfy your FFP obligation without having sacrificed a first team player, you know, you have that chip on the table to deal with still. If there's an area of the team that you believe hasn't been adequately reinforced, you know, the midfield, if Fratesi's still hanging around and Roma just decide to pull the trigger on that, you move Ibanez and that funds your Fratesi move right there. And then you have the replacements already built in with Indica. So, and you know, Llorente coming back as well. So potentially, I'm very curious to what's in store. And I think, I would expect a big move, and it all likelihood would probably be Fratesi if a big move does come. But I think if with all the pieces still in play, at this point, I would hope that, Pinto brings in a serious player to help this team push for top four next year.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess let's start with Fratesi, because that situation is interesting. And I think you used the word saga before, Brandon. It kind of is. It's turned into a saga, right? Because as Jim pointed out, it's been over a year now, pretty much. It started around this time last year, last summer, that Roma wanted Fratesi back. Sassuolo played hardball. We know Roma doesn't have the funds to really make that 30 million euro move right off the bat, especially last year. They spent, I think, what was it, like 7 million euros on Celik, and that was pretty much it in terms of transfer fees. Everything else was loans and free agent signings, and they've gone a similar path so far this year, but it does look like they will spend in some bigger aspect than the 7 million they spent on Celik last year. But it's been rumored that, you know, he's wanted Roma for a long time, and then Inter came calling, and Inter was the favorite. And now Inter and Milan and kind of Juve has been on the back burner, aren't coming up with the valuation that Carnevale wants, the DS from Sassuolo. I think he's looking for about 40 million. And I was reading that they sell Hamad Traore to, I don't think it was Leicester, but it was one of those Premier League clubs that's kind of like was fighting relegation. I think it was Bournemouth maybe. And they got like 30. Yeah, Bournemouth. And they got like 30 million euros for him. And then you're like, well, they're thinking, well, Fratesi's a better, more important player for us right now. Why not push it to 40? And it seems like nobody's willing to meet that valuation. All the rumors say that Roma's valuation is around 30 million euros. And now it's looking like Inter and Milan are in the same boat, and Milan just got 80 million for Tonali, right? So if they wanted to spend, I guess they could technically, because they're going to show an 80 million euro practically profit on Tonali. I don't think they paid very much for him. You know, he's been on the squad for 2 years, so I don't know how much transfer fees left to cover. So pretty good plus Valenza there, but we see that they're trying to go with that money ball kind of way of business. They got rid of Maldini, and they're a mess over there in terms of like fan relations and everything. And once he was sold to Nolly, they're like, well, they're going to come after Fratesi and a couple other players, and that's how they're going to, you know, build up that midfield after selling one of the best young Italian players there is on the peninsula and sending him to England. And it doesn't seem that way now. And Inter, who was kind of rumored to be the favorite, I saw not too long ago that they were kind of banking on Marcel Brozovic going to Saudi Arabia for, I think it was around 23 million euros, and then using that money to handle most of the deal with throwing in a youngster and maybe a little more cash. And he is waiting for Barcelona by all reports that I read just a little while ago. And Barcelona doesn't have the cash to meet the valuation of the club right now. So that kind of puts a real stumbling block for Inter at the moment. Milan doesn't seem to be going in that direction in the same, I guess, with the same kind of finances that Sassuolo will be looking for. And like Jim mentioned earlier, now Roma's kind of considered to maybe be the front runner again if they want to be. So latest report from Gianluca DiMarzio just a couple hours ago says that Roma, it could be back in, on Fratesi. If Inter and Milan don't really meet the valuations that Sassuolo is looking for, I think it was Filippo Biafra. I also saw a tweet that he said Roma's valuation's at 30 minus their 30% sell-on fee that they have with Sassuolo for Fratesi. You'll get about 21 million euros cash. He didn't mention anything about Bove. I don't think Roma wants to give up Bove. I think they'd be happy to pay the 21, especially if they're getting 10 from Sassuolo up front. And Bove was kind of rumored this morning to be maybe the key piece to making that deal happen. I mean, what do you guys make of this whole situation? And if Roma is going to go about it, would you splash the straight cash of your Pinto if that's an option? Would you include Bove? Would you be hesitant to include Bove? And would you maybe nix a whole Fratesi deal over Bove? Because some people, I'm reading comments on Twitter and on the board that they wouldn't even want Fratesi if Bove had to be included.
Yeah, so I mean, regarding Milan and Inter's interest and kind of general messy behavior, I saw a funny tweet that said, in Italy right now, there are three types of clubs. There are clubs that are cheating, there are clubs that are broke, and there's Napoli. And I think that out of all the different types of clubs, I'm happy that Roma is in that second group. But even given that, I would say that they've handled being broke in a way more respectable way than a lot of the other clubs in Serie A, especially the Milan clubs. They've been making tough decisions and saying we're going to go for free agents instead of signing exciting players for high transfer fees. They've been making sure that they actually sell their dead weight. Like, this is a pretty big difference from how the Pelota era Roma acted, which was if there was a debt or a financial fair play obligation to meet, a star player was sold and often not really replaced. And it's commendable on the first level that Rome was trying to be financially responsible and trying to build a squad from the ground up that can actually last, as opposed to being, to borrow a phrase, a grocery store for the big boys. Given that, I think that if I was negotiating for Fratesi with Carnevale, I would be saying, we will pay you the 21 straight. That gives you your 30 million evaluation of Fratesi. I wouldn't want to give up Bove for the simple reason that the thing that really killed Roma last season was lack of depth when they needed it. And I was very much impressed with Nemanja Matic last season, but we don't know how long he's going to be able to be at a Serie A starter level in consistent ways. And I think that having Bove there, still getting a good amount of minutes as we're spread across multiple competitions, is a really good backup and hopefully long-term solution for when Matic does eventually, you know, retire. I would say that I also wouldn't be opposed to necessarily structuring a similar deal for Bove as we did for Fratesi and we have for many youth prospects, including, you know, Lorenzo Pellegrini, where if we sent him off for a fee with an option for a buyback, I think that would also be a very good way for us to deal with Bove's development, because as plenty of people have noted, it's really hard for young players to find continuity in Rome. And it's almost better, especially for any big club, but particularly for Roma, where there's just so much pressure on players to succeed from the word go. It's almost better to send a player off to a club like Sassuolo to grow, because they don't even, they're the only club in Italy that is not in even a regional capital. And that's kind of, that's still Serie A football. That's still getting paid well. That's still being, you know, back in the back several years ago, at least fighting for European football, but it's not Rome. And I think that if you look at players like Nicolò Zaniolo, and even to a certain extent, Nicola Zalewski, bad form can kill you with the fans so quickly. And young players have bad form. And I think that I would first go for the 21 million straight cash valuation for Bove. I mean, for Fratesi. But I would consider sending over Bove if there was a buyback option or it was an extended loan, because I do think he's got talent. And the important thing is that he plays.
I feel like at this stage of, you know, his Roma career, he's had such more of a prominent role compared to some of those other players that have done that previously. So,
yeah, so I get what you're saying, Jim, with the buyback. I think the one thing with the buyback is that I wonder what price Sassuolo put that on Bove. Like, if they agree to a buyback option on Bove, you almost have to think it's going to be pretty hefty, maybe 25, 30 million euros, especially if it's in like 2 years. If he develops the way some people think he will, I know he was getting rave reviews at the U20 Euros the other day. He started, he played the full 90 minutes, and he was actually Italy's highest rated player in their 3-2 win over Switzerland, according to SofaScore and some other sites that they, you know, rated him pretty highly. I almost wonder if you have to include Bove, if you can maybe do it on a loan or something to kind of just get something out of him. I don't know, because the way Sassuolo plays hardball, I don't know if Roma's going to want to meet like a big buyback in a couple of years or a year's time. I do agree with people. I'd be hesitant to include Bove. Would it be a deal breaker for me? It would hurt. It would definitely hurt. But I think if Roma can get Fratesi, and now I think he's more obviously ready to contribute to a team that's pushing for Champions League and maybe making another run at the Europa League, just because he's 25 or whatever he is and Bove is 20. I think that would help. But I would prefer to go straight cash. I know, Brandon, we lost you for a second there, but what were you saying about the potential for Bove being included?
Yeah, just generally, I was saying that I was saying that generally I don't prefer to him to be sold, especially with the buyback provision, just because of the role that he's playing with Roma now. And then given all the competitions that Roma are juggling, whether it be that or the inevitable injury bug that hits, Bove will be the very valuable player to have on the team. And so ideally you would just have both him and Fratesi, as Jim mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, and Steve, just to go back to your point about how high the buyback fee might be, first of all, Fratesi's 23, just for everyone's conversation here. But second of all, looking back to Pellegrini's transfer over to Sassuolo, which I think we all would agree would be the most successful version of kind of this farming out system that Roma's developed with Sassuolo over the years. Sassuolo bought him for 1.25 million euros. And the buyback option 2 years later was for 10 million. That was before transfer fees kind of just went insane, largely. And, you know, he was a far less, he had not really had that much experience with the club. He had one appearance in the 2014-2015 league for Roma before going off to Sassuolo. So my argument with Bove would be, you want, it's kind of like the Tammy Abraham situation, almost with us playing the Chelsea role. Like, you want this guy to play. He might not be getting that much chance to play. And is it worth it to you to say, okay, we're going to sell this guy for, let's say, 10 to 15 million, and we'll always have a buyback option for 30 to 40. I think that would be smart, because you want Bove to become that type of guy. And if it can grease the wheels enough for you to get a 23-year-old midfielder from Rome back at the club who, you know, could explode in value over the next several seasons, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, that argument can definitely be made. But right now, Roma's midfield, I guess we're looking at, really, it's Cristante, Matic, and Bove, right, in terms of players on the roster right now that are center mid. So if they do use him to get Fratesi, they have to bring someone else in at this point because they have to replace Wijnaldum and Kamara, right, unless I'm forgetting someone.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just also wonder, based off of how the squad's been being built up and who else we're being rumored to be attached to, there is a Brazilian attacking midfielder. There's Baldanzi, who we discussed already. My question there is, if we're bringing in all these attacking midfielders, are we going to see a shift in formation? Are we going to see a more attack-happy formation, maybe with more defenders? Because, again, we're buying more defenders now, too. So based off of our purchases so far, that makes me wonder kind of if that midfield formation is going to shift away from the double pivot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, do they go maybe 3-5-2 and play more of a Mezzala role for Fratesi, and you can drop Pellegrini into that role? He played that role a lot, I know, at Sassuolo, and that was kind of his under EDF too when he first came back, when Roe played a different formation. It would be interesting. That would leave Dybala with whoever the striker is up front, and then Pellegrini would make his, I guess, runs and help an attack. It would be an interesting look because Fratesi is a box-to-box guy who can contribute to the attack in a way that none of Roma's other true central mids do, you know, when you include Pellegrini in, like, the attacking midfield role. So it would definitely add a different dimension. I'd be curious, and I know that he had made comments about, you know, going to a place where he felt like he had the best role in terms of, like, his position, and he's used to playing in a three-man midfield. So it's not out of the question. I don't think they're going away from three center backs based on what we've seen in terms of the market and bringing in Ndika and keeping Smalling on an extension. Mancini, there's been no rumors he'll be around. Ibanez's rumors have quieted. Do they sell him? Maybe. Maybe they don't. And they're also bringing Llorente back on loan from all reports. So I don't think they move away from the three center backs, but you could adjust the formation a little bit, go a little more 3-5-2. There's definitely options there.
Yeah, and then there's also the Mourinho favorite 4-2-3-1, which we've seen at times, but hasn't really gelled with the personnel we have at our disposal. But with some of the players that we're bringing in, you know, you have Ndika, who I believe is a left-footed center back. So you know, you're bringing in some players that are a little bit more equipped to play well in this formation. But I do kind of agree with you in that I don't see Roma shying away from the three center back system. The only thing is, in terms of a three man midfield, at this point in time, they certainly don't have the bodies to handle that, especially with three competitions. So if that is the route they want to go, they're definitely going to need to continue to bring in some midfielders.
Yeah, for sure. And another one that was linked, more of an attacking midfielder, was Aichi Kamada, I saw linked. But again, he's more of an attacking player. Baldanzi, more of an attacking player. We did see Weston McKennie last week, the U.S. international. He's more of a true center mid. He's out of favor at Juve. He went on loan to Leeds last season. I mean, he would be a body if they can get him on loan. I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go, how true that rumor is. But I feel like a lot of the players that are linked that are midfielders, besides Fratesi and McKennie recently, at least in the last, you know, couple days or so, have been those more attacking type players, which is interesting considering the lack of bodies in the central midfield to me.
Yeah, I think that it seemed pretty clear to me that the main priority for Thiago Pinto so far is getting that financial fair play situation kind of resolved. But I do think that there are a bunch of moving parts that we're not necessarily seeing just yet. For example, there have been a lot of rumors about who might be replacing Digital Bits as our main sponsor. There have been a lot of rumors about the valuation of that sponsorship, some going as far to say that it might be a $30 million a year sponsorship. If they're able to secure that type of deal, that does change the nature of the transfer market a bit. And I think that there are other factors in there, including, you know, over the course of training camp, if players like Bove are able to impress enough to be consistent midfield players and not just kind of like a sub appearance on a regular basis, that would also change the dynamics. You don't feel, maybe feel the need to bring in a midfielder beyond Fratesi, or maybe you feel like you can focus your efforts on bringing in a Spinazzola replacement who's been rumored to be headed to Saudi Arabia. I think that the work that they've done already by snatching up some of the best free agents on the market has been excellent, but there's a lot of fluidity to what Roma can do next year, which is actually pretty exciting when you think about it.
Yeah, so for sure. Go ahead, Ren.
No, I was just going to ask, is this the summer that Verratti arrives in Rome?
If you could bring in Verratti and Fratesi, then you'd really be cooking in the midfield. Yeah, that situation's interesting with Verratti. He's linked to Saudi Arabia, but doesn't seem like he wants to go there.
I think everyone's linked to Saudi Arabia right now.
Yeah, they're linked with a lot of players. Verratti, I'm curious to see how it plays out. He's never played in Serie A, and he's been one of the best Italian midfielders of the last, I guess, about 10 years now. So that'll be interesting to see if he ends up in Serie A in some way. But I don't know if anybody's got the money to give him what he wants in terms of wages. I don't know if he'd be willing to accept a little less money to play in Serie A if he doesn't get an offer abroad that he likes. It'd be a curious one for sure.
Yeah, he'd probably have to take a lot of less money to play for Roma. I know at one point he was linked with City in a Bernardo Silva swap, which you could see happening more so than him returning to Italy. But, you know, we've seen some crazy moves already this summer, so anything can happen. I don't think it'll be Roma, but with all indications, it seems that he does really want to leave PSG, so who knows?
Yeah, for sure. So let's take a quick ad break here, and then we will get to some more rumors that have been swirling.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, guys. So we had one listener inquiry today, and it was related to Fratesi. So before we get further, if King Nkuli on Twitter asked, assuming Roma do miss out on Fratesi, who do you see adding to the midfield? Do you think Aouar fits more in midfield or attack?
I think that's an excellent question, and one that I don't necessarily have the answer to, just because if Aouar is seen as a Vice Pellegrini or Vice Dybala, then why are we still being linked to young, exciting, attacking midfielders? That's kind of an open question for me, and makes me think that Aouar might be considered as more of a part of the more traditional element of the midfield. That's my guess. I think that he might be more of a Wijnaldum replacement than we realize. As for who else I could be seeing, I'll be honest and say that I've been so focused on Fratesi as the option that I haven't been trying to think too much about Fratesi replacements. Beyond that, I gotta say that I'd be skeptical of Weston McKennie. I think that he's got talent, but I think that he is also a moody player who might not necessarily fit with the mentality that Roma is trying to build. I think that there were a lot of rumors about how when he was in the Premier League, there were, you know, questions about his practice regimen, things like that. And this is a club that is currently undergoing a pretty massive mentality change, trying to be more aggressive in developing kind of that killer, never say die winning mentality. And from what I've seen so far of McKennie, I don't know if he would compliment that. So that's my biggest hesitation with McKennie.
Yeah, that was what a lot of what I saw about McKennie. I know that part of the link was they're looking for a midfielder who can chip in goals like Fratz says he can. And I think that's where the natural link to McKennie comes about, is if you're looking for a guy who can chip in goals, he can do that. I've seen him do it plenty with the U.S. national team. I know he didn't do it a whole ton last year. I think his first season at Juve, he might have chipped in like 5 or 6 goals. Really good in the air on set pieces. That's where he's done some damage for the U.S. national team. Obviously different setup with Roma, but
he's got talent. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I don't think he's like on the Fratesi level. He'd be, I think, a step below for sure. But he does work his tail off when he plays. And in that regard, I think Mourinho would like him, but I think he would have to really buy into the Mourinho mentality, into the Mourinho, you know, psyche, and taking it from the coach when he goes at him a little bit. And really, I think the hope would be, at least from his entourage standpoint, is that Mourinho can kind of push him to that next level. And just while I'm going here quick, I just looked up Aouar, and interestingly enough, in his career with Lyon, 233 appearances total, when you look at his positions played by match, he actually has 107 matches listed as a true central mid, 37 as a left midfielder, 36 as an attacking mid, 16 even as a DM, which is interesting because I know his people question his defensive abilities, and a couple as a winger. So maybe he is more of that Genie Wijnaldum direct replacement. Maybe he plays, maybe he becomes kind of that like joker player for Mourinho, where he can kind of put him anywhere in the midfield he needs him, whether it's attacking or central or whatever. And it adds some versatility and adds an extra body to the central midfield.
Yeah, with I'm okay with Aouar being the Wijnaldum replacement, provided he doesn't put up a stinker in the Europa League final like Jenny did. All due respect to him. Labeling him a central midfielder, I think, is a characterization that makes sense, given from what I understand about him. He's very good in transitions and playing the ball quick, which I think is exactly what you're going to want out of somebody who's playing in that Wijnaldum role. You could see at times that was the intent, but the execution just wasn't there. And then to go to the Weston McKennie point, I'm not really a big fan. I think in reference, you know, Jimmy referenced the disciplinary issues, and also dating back to his time in Juve and the men's national team, he's had some stuff pop up, which normally for me, that it's not necessarily a knock on the player. I like enjoy watching plenty of the quote unquote bad characters of soccer, but I think you could also easily envision a scenario where that kind of blows up in Roma's face during a, you know, God forbid, a game similar to the Bodo debacle. And then from there, Weston's on the outs with Mourinho, and that's all she wrote. And of course, that's all just pure speculation, and it can work out more so in what you guys were saying, where he brings out the best in him. But I think if you're just looking to add a body, it's not necessarily the profile of player I would go with, just because, and maybe this is just me speaking from an American perspective, but I think to have a player on the bench that you, I don't know, would be your maybe fourth, fifth option at midfield, maybe just a little too much going on around the player to be worth that spot on the roster.
Yeah, the rumors really lasted one day. I haven't seen anything since, so I don't think it goes anywhere. We'll see. but like you said, I could see it going either way. And I do think, if you're looking at Fratesi as the priority number one in terms of midfielder right now, McKennie's going to definitely be something on the back burner because he's not of the same quality from what I've seen. So I guess moving on from midfield to attack, all indications seem to point still toward Gianluca Scamacca. I know it's still early in the window. I think that's a big reason why this is moving slowly, because West Ham want more guarantees in terms of a resale on him, in terms of a sale overall. Roma's looking for a loan. Maybe they'd be willing to include the option to buy. I don't think they want to be stuck with an obligation, especially if he has a poor season, Roma doesn't qualify for Champions League, and you're on the hook for like 30, 35 million euros, and you don't really have that coming in because you finish in Europa League places again. And then if that happens, Mourinho, maybe it's gone. Who knows, you know, what happens to the club after that in terms of management and everything. So I think they're looking at that situation. I know Milan is now, you know, kicking the tires on a Scamacca move, but according to Gianluca DiMarzio, Scamacca is going to do all he can to try to make the Roma move happen. It's his priority. You know, he wants Roma at all costs, is the way I saw it phrased today. You know, at some point there comes a limit to that. If it's, you know, dragging on for too long, then maybe Milan becomes an attractive option for him. I saw Mario Icardi was offered to Roma by Wandanara, as well as I think Milan and Juve were linked to him. But Roma, in that report, is still prioritizing Scamacca. So, I mean, nothing really to report here, but do you guys still feel confident that he ends up in Rome?
I know, yeah, our I silence is step.
The silence is deafening. Did they both leave?
I definitely do. I would say that even more than Fratesi, who in recent interviews has tried to play coy and basically said, like, you know, last year I was really determined to get to Rome. This year I'm thinking with my head, not my heart. Every indicator that we've had from Scamacca's camp is that he is desperate to get back to Roma. I think that doesn't necessarily shock me, because my understanding of why he moved away from Roma in the first place several years ago now, despite being a very highly hyped prospect in the Roma Academy, was that he was just simply offered a contract that was too good to turn down elsewhere. And Roma, even back then, had an emphasis on trying to maintain some semblance of a salary structure. And so you can understand that. But still, I think that for Roma going forward, it's going to be critical to continue developing the players like the Lorenzo Pellegrinis, and hopefully bringing back players from their world-class academy like David Fratesi and Gianluca Scamacca, because there is a bond there that you develop that makes it harder for them to be pried away from by a super club later down the line. And let's be honest, if Roma is successful in the way that I think we all think that the club can be, that is the problem. That is the next step. When you are able to develop a player like Alisson, or kind of resuscitate a career like Roma did with Mo Salah, the problem is that then Liverpool comes knocking, or then Manchester United comes knocking, or Real Madrid comes knocking. And you're not going to be able to stop that from happening, period. But it's a lot easier to keep those players around if they're academy born and raised versus, you know, just some guy that you brought in several years ago. Like, I'd be more confident in Roma keeping Gianluca Scamacca around if he became a superstar than I would be if 3 years from now, Evan Ndicka is one of the best defenders in the world and Barcelona says, hey, we want to bring you in. You know what I mean? I think that there is an advantage to building up as much core as possible, both from Italian internationals and from Roma Academy grads.
Yeah, it would be something if they can bring him in to go with Fratesi, Bove, Pellegrini, Zalewski. I mean, they'd have a pretty good handful of, even if they didn't all graduate, because Scamacca technically didn't graduate from Roma Academy, guys that have come through the Roma Academy and turned into solid pros. It would be impressive, and it would be a point of pride, certainly, for Roma. I saw they won the U17 Scudetto a couple days ago. They won the U16 Scudetto yesterday. I think they clinched that. I think it was against Fiorentina's youth side. So really cool stuff to see that they are developing players, not just having to go out and buy players. And it seems like, you mentioned last week, Fadi Conti has a bright future from all indications. You know, some of their players are bringing in 8 to 10 million euros as teenagers. So I think Roma's doing a really good job in that regard.
Yeah, and then best case scenario, how it all pans out, is something similar to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA, where you have a core of 4 or 5 guys, and then you add that one big piece in KD and go on a historic run. So, you know, comparing that to Roma, you can envision a scenario where this core group of homegrown players develops to the point that Roma are a perennial top four contender, and then you splash the cash, bring in a player or two that slots right into the starting 11, and then there you go. There's your Scudetto push, your Champions League semifinal push, if that's your goal, what have you. But again, the emphasis being that it's so important to grow these homegrown, to keep hold on to these homegrown players.
Yeah, for sure. The homegrown aspect, and you know, that's what sucked us all in. I'm sure Totti, De Rossi, right? Those players, the ones that attracted us to the club, we might have known they were homegrown at the moment when we first started following the club, but then that aura kind of builds as you get invested in the club, and you're like, it's a point of pride. Like, Totti turned down Real Madrid to stay at Roma, right? I mean, De Rossi, he could have gone to some Premier League sides or to Spain, probably to one of those big sides or a bigger Italian side, and he stuck around. I think Chelsea was always his big link. And you see that now with some of these players, and if they can keep Pellegrini around, and I know he's not on the level of those guys, it's just definitely a point of pride. So definitely something cool to see. Jim, anything else you want to throw on Scamacca before we move on to the next topic?
I forgive him for the bonsai thing.
We'll keep his dad away from the parking lot too. So besides those players who are going to be coming in, players that are really close to coming in, one on return, one new player is Diego Llorente, likely returning on loan from Leeds. Roma was impressed with him. I thought he was pretty good as that fourth, fifth center back. And it seems like things are getting pretty close. I think there's probably going to be an option to buy in some regard. And then Christensen, the right back from Leeds. Roma's looking for a dry loan or a loan with option to bring him back next season. They do not want an obligation from the reports from DiMarzio earlier today. He was bought from Salzburg just a year ago. Roma was actually linked with him last summer when Leeds bought him from Salzburg. And if that happens, I guess we can kiss Rick Karsdorp goodbye. But interesting profile. I know he's a Danish national team player. He was brought in from Salzburg to Leeds for $15 million. That team was really bad defensively in the Premier League. You know, some say he was not very good from some of the comments I've seen. Sometimes hard to tell when you're such a bad side. Brandon, I know you watch more Premier League than we do. I don't know how much you saw Leeds. Maybe it was only against City, but what do you think of them bringing back Llorente and Christensen?
So I'll answer the Christensen part first, in that I'm not very familiar with the player. As you said, it would only me seeing him would only have come against City or another one of the big six. But so it's not a player that I'm familiar with, but I think to your point, it's a Karsdorp replacement of sensibly. And we know that's a position that is frequently hit with the injury bug. So, you know, depth is crucial at that position. So we'll see how that goes. But with Llorente, I'm very happy to see that he's linked with coming back. I think, as you said, he did very well in his 6-month loan spell at the club as that fourth or fifth option. And with Smalling getting another year older, you're going to need somebody to rotate in a little bit more. I know we have Indica as well, so that'll help too. But it's somebody that Mourinho already knows and trusts, and we'll see what the final deal ends up being, what the cost of the obligation to buy is. If that ends up being inserted, I'm sure it would be somewhat dependent on Leeds' ability to return to the Premier League. But like I said, we'll see what those details end up being. But for now, it's good news that Roma are, again, not resting on their laurels in terms of reinforcing some key spots.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on the Llorente side thing is that, you know, he was a very serviceable defensive backup for the second half of the season. Everybody from the manager down seemed to really appreciate the effort that he put in on a regular basis. He's not Chris Smalling, but you don't want your fourth or fifth center back to be Chris Smalling. You want him to be a guy who's comfortable kind of coming in and being a sub guy most of the time and maybe starting every now and then. As for the Christensen move, I will be honest and say that I've never been super high on Rick Karsdorp as a player. I think that the roller coaster ride that has been the Rick Karsdorp experience for Roma over the years has had more lows than highs. Part of that's down to injury. Part of that's due to quarrels with managers. Part of that's due to, I don't know, just not a great performance on the pitch. And he's not a good enough player in my mind to justify the runs of poor form and the clashes with managers and things like that. So even if Rasmus Christensen isn't necessarily on Karsdorp's level at the moment, if he's able to be consistent in some way, shape, or form and more healthy than Karsdorp's been, I'd say that's probably an upgrade. And yeah, I clearly am not a big fan of Karsdorp, but yeah, if you can tell me that I'm wrong in my read of him, I'm happy to relent.
Yeah, I mean, Karsdorp, he has his moments once in a while where he's pretty good, but most of the time it's either indifferent or sometimes really bad. And like you said, the clashes with management definitely don't help his case. You know, Christensen, I don't think he's going to be a world beater, but some of his numbers, when I looked him up on FB Reference when I first reported the rumor on the site, I guess it was Friday, they weren't terrible. Like, when you look at his numbers over the last 365 days in Europe's Big Five leagues, he rated pretty well, which was interesting. I think I just pulled up the wrong one. Wrong Christensen. A bunch pop up here. He's actually listed as Rasmus Nielsen first. So when you look him up, you know, on FB Reference, and they have those last 365 days across the, you know, Europe's leagues, he rates pretty decently. So, you know, I think there's a player in there. I don't think Roma or Mourinho would want him around if they didn't think he could defend as a right back. In fact, his tackles, interceptions, blocks, clearances, aerials, won all in the top 82 or higher percentile for right backs across Europe's Big Five leagues. He really excelled at interceptions, 93%. Chipped in a couple goals and assists. So would be interesting to see. I mean, maybe just a change of air would be the best thing for Karsdorp. I know the clash with Mourinho. Then he kind of came back into the fold. Then he had the meniscus issue. So might just be time to move on from him. And then speaking of moving on, since the last time we reported, Justin Kluivert, official to Bournemouth. We mentioned 11 million euros last week when Jim and I recorded. It wasn't official yet. I think that also went official on Friday. Just a minute or so. Like, what do you guys think of, like, what went wrong with Kluivert? Was he just too young when he got here? Was it the mentality that, oh, I'm going to use this as a stepping stone? Or was it just something entirely different that kind of didn't lead to what we maybe expected from him?
I'll go first. I think it was a combination of him being too young. And I think the time that he joined the club was right around the time that everything kind of went to shit. And there's a little, it's a part of, and there's a ton of upheaval with the club. And so that didn't help him either. It's a shame that it didn't work out. I think I was surprised when he didn't get really a run out under Mourinho, but you know, I think at that point, the club probably just wanted to wipe their hands clean of Kluivert and get him off the books. And, you know, it's taken now a couple of years to finally do so with a number of loan spells. But I think even he would say that he came too young. And I think he has said that in recent interviews. I don't really have a problem with the stepping stone line, because from my recollection at the time of his transfer, that was kind of all the chatter you were hearing anyways. When you have the last name Kluivert and your father played for Barcelona, there's going to be an expectation. And you yourself, coming from Ajax, which is a big club in its own right, there's going to be an expectation that you're just going to continue to develop and then eventually essentially be your father's heir, whether it be at Barcelona or another big club. And I'm sure that he bought into that to a significant degree. And so I can't really knock him for that. Players are ambitious, and that's partly why they are where they are. But I think the youth and the upheaval around the club were really the main factors in his downfall.
I would agree that the upheaval around the club was definitely a factor here. I think it's often underrated in why young players don't necessarily explode onto the scene. Some players are, you know, just predestined in a way that, you know, Mbappe was always going to be Mbappe. Haaland is always going to be Haaland. But for players who are quite good and have the potential to be great, you still need the right environment for them to like incubate into a star. And I don't think Roma was really the right environment for most players during that era. I think that, do I find it a little annoying that he was so upfront about viewing Roma as a stepping stone? 100%. But at the same time, I think that there is a level of ego that is necessary to be a successful footballer. And I also think that there's a level of ego that's going to be present when you've got his last name and have a very successful youth career. So, I mean, I understand it. I'm disappointed because I was quite excited when he came in. And also, just like, I remember him being, you know, he wasn't scoring goals or anything, but he was pretty impressive when it came to tracking back. He put in effort on the pitch. So as much as he was showing that he had his mind elsewhere, maybe, I still felt like the effort was often there on the pitch as well. You know, it's more, my general feeling on it is actually maybe a more muted version of how I feel about Zaniolo right now, which is like the talent was clearly there. The potential was clearly there. And I mainly just feel like it's a shame that it didn't ever translate.
Yeah, I go with what Brandon said too. I think the youth had a lot to do with it. The club was in a bit of upheaval. He was here for a few different managers, didn't help. And I think it's natural, like you guys said, to want to move on from Rome eventually when you have the last name Clive. Your father played at Barcelona and Milan and these other clubs. And I think he kind of saw himself doing a similar path, maybe go from Ajax to Roma to either Barcelona or Madrid, he said himself recently. And it's one of those things that's unfortunate that he didn't at least pan out to the extent that Roma could have gotten 20, 30 million euros for him a couple of years ago. But, you know, they made 11 million now. They kind of washed their hands. He's still young enough to maybe go make an impact. But the fact he's bounced around for a couple of clubs now makes you think he's not going to ever be like that star player for a club. I wish him the best at Bournemouth. But, yeah, he might be following that kind of journeyman path at this point. And it's hard when you have a name like Kluivert to live up to it, right? I think it's the same thing we're kind of seeing with Christian Totti now. I know he's in the youth system still. I read he's probably moving on to Frosinone's youth system. Probably a decent player at it for his age group, but probably not on the Roma level, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of players who would love to be that good at his age or Kluivert good at his age. But sometimes a name is a lot to live up to too, I think. All right, so a couple quick other rumors to wrap on. Ibrahima Dorboe, apparently official offer came out from LASK, probably a loan, maybe an option to buy. I think for a player like him, probably necessary, I think, to move on, right, at least on a loan because he's coming off a full year out, and I don't see where he kind of fits in this side. He's in the minutes and maybe going to the Austrian Bundesliga maybe would be a good move for him if that move materializes.
Yeah, I agree. A fresh start would be the best. Roma are continuing to look to reinforce the midfield to get to that next level. And at this stage of his development, it's best to get some consistent playing time that you're probably not going to get at Roma.
Yeah, it's a shame. Again, like it's a situation where it's like, I wish that Roma had a kinder environment. And I wish that just in general, there was more ability for young players to succeed in a way that you kind of see it happen more in the Premier League and things like that. But, you know, onwards and upwards.
Yeah, and 22 years old, still could have a bright future ahead of him. Could even have a future at Roma, we never know. But I think for this season, definitely needs to move on. And then the last one I wanted to touch on quick before we go is actually two of them. Leo Spinazzola linked with Saudi Arabia. Interesting potential there. I think potential offer I read might be like 15 million euros or 18 or something in that range. I don't remember off the top of my head. And then Ole Solbach, and apparently his entourage was contacted by German side Hoffenheim. Solbach can only here for 6 months so far. Really played just half a season. Came on the free transfer from Bodo. What do you make of either or both of those players moving on at this point?
It would feel weird to me if Solbakken moved on. It just would. Like, I wouldn't really know what to make of the move if it turned out that he was only around for 6 months and then went off to, like, a pretty decent side with the Bundesliga. As for Spinazzola, it's so annoying that he literally looked like one of the best players in the world before getting himself injured again. I could see him taking the Saudi Arabia money, but then again, as I said earlier with Verratti, everyone seems to be taking theoretically linked to Saudi Arabian money right now, so I don't know how much I believe that. Do I want Roma to have a more consistent option at fullback? Yes, but I also don't want that to be Nicola Zalewski, so I kind of hope that he sticks around just so Nicola Zalewski can get moved into more of an attacking role.
Yeah, Spinazzola would hurt me, to be honest, similarly to when El Shaarawy left for China. I know we haven't seen Spinazzola recapture that Euros form since he's returned from injury, but you still see flashes of it. And up till now, we haven't been, we haven't seen Roma linked with any left backs, so, or left wing backs rather. So you wonder who would come in to replace him. As Jimmy mentioned, you don't really want to bank on Zalewski in that position long term. So with Spinazzola departing, you would expect a little bit of a bigger name to come in, and at that point it's always a question of what the price will be for that. So personally, I'm hoping that Spinazzola sticks around. I get wanting to cash in on him as he gets another year older and still hasn't recaptured that Euros form, but it's a player I like, so selfishly I would like to keep him. And then with Solbakken, I think it would be a savvy move to sell him, because it would be, you know, all plus Valenza, I believe, since he came in on a free transfer or something close to that. So it could be a savvy bit of business depending on what Hoffenheim are offering, but I think he's shown enough in his very limited spell that I would like to see him continue on.
Yeah, I'd like to see both of them stick around. I am a Spinazzola fan. You know, he hasn't hit that Euro level again. He may never do it at now at his age, pushing 30. I know he's out of contract at the end of the season, which is why Roma might be keen to take money for him, because if they don't want to renew him, then you at least get something for him. But like you guys said, I haven't seen any left backs linked really at this point. And if you do bring in a left back, you need a starting quality left back, because I don't think you want to keep sticking Zalewski there full time. At least, though, if they do bring in Christensen and they have Celik healthy and Spinazzola does go, if Zalewski does have to play like a wing-back type role for another season, at least he would be able to play his more natural left-sided position if Spinazzola is not around. But I prefer Spinazzola to stick around and you find ways to get Zalewski on the field more in the attacking role. Solbakken, to me, is an interesting prospect. I think to get rid of him now would be strange. Only here for 6 months. He did show flashes. Just 24 years old. So I'd like to see him stick around. He scored recently on international duty with Norway, I think last week, in Euro qualifying. So I'd like to see him both stick around, but would not be shocked if Spinazzola goes. Be a little more surprised if Solbakken goes, I think. All right. So I think, guys, I think that takes us to the end of a long list of rumors and potential moves and moves that seem to be close for Roma. Anything you want to leave the listeners with before we, you know, go? And I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about by next week, because then we'll be into July.
No, just got to tip your hat off to Pinto for getting this close to satisfying that FFP obligation. And fingers crossed he gets that last 500K or whatever the amount is to get to the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, let's hope nothing crazy happens in the transfer market or nobody gets injured. But as I said last week, this transfer market's been just about as good as one could hope from Thiago Pinto to date. Let's hope it keeps on rolling.
Yeah, for sure. Hoping that good news comes on the Frattesi and Scamacca fronts after, you know, June 30th passes and they get that little bit of cash, I guess. Big bit for any of us if we were talking about like getting paid it, but right. Little bit in terms of world football, right? I'd sure take 500K right now, but if we can get that 500K to a million, whatever Roma's short, get that done by Friday. I'm thinking it maybe comes from Carlos Perez. I think they'd find that deal. That seems to be the one that's the hottest right now. And then hopefully next week we're talking about more incoming stuff, or at least strong links, and we have some more to talk about. But thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.